T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, and thanks for finding me wherever you are across the CBS Sports Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 206, CBSSportsRadio.com, the Radio.com app. All great places is to listen and follow along with the show. I'm your host, Andrew Filippone. I'm based out of Pittsburgh, where the Pirates are playing like the worst team in baseball, tanking for the number one overall pick, I may add. And the Penguins were embarrassingly eliminated from the qualifying round of the Stanley Cup playoffs yesterday by the lowly Montreal Canadiens. So not exactly great times to be a Pittsburgh sports fan, but that's not what I'm going to bore you with over the next 2 hours. We got bigger fish to fry, and for at least from my perspective, a relief to talk about some other things right now. And one of them is something that I was reminded of last night. In a non-pandemic world, if we're living in a place where the coronavirus never popped up, we would have had our first NFL game, our first preseason tune-up this week. The Hall of Fame game would have been on Thursday. Steelers and Cowboys, and we would be getting ready for enshrinement ceremonies tonight. Troy Polamalu and a cast of others getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this evening. And I was reminded of that last night, and I came into work today to do the show, and I wanted to look at next year's Hall of Fame class, guys that would pop up on next year's Hall of Fame ballot for the first time. And I think there's going to be, and let me just say before we get into it, that I am largely fed up with and very annoyed by the whole state of pro sports Hall of Fames. Okay? I think there's all kinds of different interpretations and definitions and opinions of what Hall of Fames are, how we should view them, how we should treat them, how we should then handle and select those who are enshrined or celebrated in Hall of Fames. And my own personal opinion on sports Hall of Fames has always been that it was reserved for the very, 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 very best, with no exception. And I'm not one of those guys that says, well, it's just a museum. It really doesn't matter. I'd rather have more people in than out. Why do we have to be so hard on these people? Why do we have to make them wait? If it's close, put them in. Give that athlete his moment. Give them a great personal honor. Like I have found a lot of the discussion about the qualifications for Hall of Famers and what they should be, it usually is tedious and it wears on me, and I get kind of fed up with the conversation, and it doesn't take much to do that. So that's my preamble or my setup for what I think is an interesting discussion about how we rate or how we rank great football players. Because I think what I'm about to talk about with you is one of, not just football, but what is one of the great sports existential questions. I think we all have different value systems, and we all have different priorities in life and different things that we adhere to or believe in. And I think this question that I'm about to ask you about a specific player will reveal to me, if you're willing to participate in the conversation, which side of the fence you fall on. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. This would have been the 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement night. Instead, everybody's going in next year, in addition to guys who will be on the ballot for the first time, like Peyton Manning, who is a no doubt about it, no-brainer selection. Even if you look at his 500 record or one game over 500 record as a playoff performer, and there's no doubt in my mind that Peyton Manning's failures in the postseason are the only thing that prevent him from being called the greatest quarterback of all time. If he had two more championships and was able to at least come close to Tom Brady in the total championship debate, I think more people would look at Peyton Manning as the greatest quarterback of all time. The same way that even though LeBron James falls well short of Michael Jordan in total championships, the incredible production and the incredible longevity of the great production allows for the debate to exist. LeBron versus Michael Jordan. We don't have a Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady debate because Peyton Manning, just for whatever reason, and I know it's putting a lot of stock in one game, small sample size as opposed to full seasons, but Peyton's performance in playoff games is just hard for me to overlook, and why I don't think that there's any discussion really over who the greatest quarterback is of all time. It's Tom Brady. But I don't want to talk about Manning versus Brady. I don't want to talk about Peyton Manning's place in NFL history. Far more interesting to me is what will happen to somebody like Calvin Johnson, who will be on the Hall of Fame ballot for the first time next year. And I think he is a player that personifies one of the classic debates we have in sports. What do we judge? What do we ultimately judge? And what ultimately defines a great player? Is it the eye test? Or is it the resume? Because if you go by eye test, and I'm interested to hear where you come down on this at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you go by what your eyes told you, Calvin Johnson was one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history. Now, he was on a terrible team, and he languished on a terrible team, and because of it, we didn't see him as much as other great wide receivers of his era, or great wide receivers who came just before him, like Terrell Owens and Randy Moss, guys that, in both cases, never won championships, but were usually on really good teams. Randy Moss with the Patriots, Terrell Owens with the Eagles, and the 49ers, and the Cowboys, teams that were usually in the mix. The Lions, just like Barry Sanders before him, Calvin Johnson had to toil in these environments where he was usually on a last-place team, and sometimes so bad, in fact, that they were, you know, 0-16 bad, didn't have a lot of help, was on a joke of a team, and put up monster numbers, and was for most of those years the only real true weapon in those offenses, where all attention was on him, and he was still able to put up just incredible numbers. And he did so in not a quiet, kind of subtle way. He was a freak of nature. He is somebody that you would look at him and say, from a God-given talent standpoint, he got a lot. He broke the mold. He has, you know, when you, if you were to build a wide receiver in a lab, he would have all the qualities you would want in that type of player. But the problem is he didn't play very long. And so if you look at all the all-time lists, top 10 receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns, you don't find Kelvin Johnson's name there. You don't find him among the best to ever play the game. And so that's where the debate will come in with somebody like him. And that's why he won't get in on the first try. And that's why there is some question of whether or not Kelvin Johnson ultimately is a Hall of Famer. And when I thought about this conversation or topic in my head, it wasn't just with Kelvin Johnson in mind. It was thinking about it in a more macro sense, like what constitutes a great player? What is it that makes somebody great? Is it the ability to be productive over a long period of time? Or is it seeing somebody with your own eyes and recognizing that that person's talents and abilities are better than anybody else? Bo Jackson is another one of these guys. Bo Jackson at his best, he'll never sniff the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Bo Jackson at his best, when he was in his prime, when he was healthy, you could take Bo Jackson and put him up against, you name an NFL running back who's already in the Hall of Fame. If I had a running back for one game, I would take him over probably 75% of the running backs who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you had to win one game, you would take Kelvin Johnson, I think, and at least I would, over a lot of Hall of Fame wide receivers. For one game, Kelvin Johnson is better than Art Monk. For one game, Kelvin Johnson is better than Andre Reed. For one game, Kelvin Johnson is better than Chris Carter. But he didn't do it for a long time. And so I'm always curious when you have this type of... Tony Boselli, I think, is also like fighting this. He didn't play for very long because of injuries. But when he was locked in, when he was available to play, he was a dominant left tackle. He was dominant in the way that Anthony Munoz was dominant, except Munoz did it for a much longer time, and that's why he was a slam dunk Hall of Famer, and there was very little discussion or debate over whether or not he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. I know for me, and this might surprise you, I go by what somebody did. Now, I'm such a strict grader when it comes to the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't put Kelvin Johnson in because I believe that you don't reward a player for his potential. And it's disappointing, or it's kind of sucks to think about the idea that here's a guy that retired when he was, what, 30 years old, 31 years old, and probably had a lot of football left, but number one, didn't want to deal with the pain, and number two, was on a lousy team and didn't want to go through the rigmarole or playing for the Detroit Lions and going 5-11 every year, and said, I've made $100 million, I don't need the aggravation, and stepped away. We're seeing more and more football players do that. We're seeing more and more football players say, you know, let me get out when I've made a lot of money. I still have my brain intact. I'm still a functioning individual. I don't want the long-term effects of playing football. Let me get out now. Andrew Luck did that. If you just go by, now he's not eligible for the Hall of Fame here, so he's not, this discussion, we're not ready to have this type of talk about him. But if Andrew Luck had played until his late 30s, I'm sure he either wins a Super Bowl or puts up enough numbers to get himself into a Hall of Fame discussion. He passed my eye test. As far as the aesthetics and the visual, the optics of playing the quarterback position, there are very few players in my lifetime who I think were better than Andrew Luck. But Philip Rivers put up better numbers than him. So as far as I'm concerned, Philip Rivers had a better career than Andrew Luck. And so that's how I do it. If I were a Hall of Fame voter, I would sit in that room, and when Kelvin Johnson's name came up, I would be like, yeah, he is one of the best players, one of the best wide receivers I ever saw. But the problem is he didn't do it for very long. And when somebody voluntarily says, I don't want to play football anymore, I'm not going to criticize or castigate the player for that, but we also don't have to give them the reward of ending up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, even though we know that there are players who are enshrined here and who are celebrated here who did not have the type of high-end talent or the type of unbelievable jaw-dropping highlight reel type plays, or even in a very small window. You know, you could argue for maybe a 2 or 3 year period, there was no better wide receiver in NFL history than Kelvin Johnson. Like 2000, if you look at, you know, the late 2000, what would that be, like 2011, 2012, that kind of period of time, nobody better than him. And so we would have had the Hall of Fame ceremony tonight, and it made me think about the guys who are up next year. And the way that we rank all-time great players, how do you do it? Like if you just go by the eye test, right? If you just go by what you saw, Dan Marino could do more things with a football than Tom Brady. Dan Marino, in terms of maybe physical abilities and talents, I believe was a better quarterback than Tom Brady. But he didn't do it long enough. I don't think Emmitt Smith is the greatest running back of all time, but he has the most rushing yards. So, you know, that has to count for something. You can't leave him out of a debate or a discussion. You know, you can't, like, completely leave him out of the Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, greatest running back of all time discussion just because he had an awesome line. He has the most rushing yards. That has to account for something, or that has to mean something. So I think next year, and I don't anticipate him getting in year one, but I think Kelvin Johnson will be a case study in what I'm talking about. What weighs heavier, what counts the most when analyzing and discussing somebody's Hall of Fame credentials? Is it like what they did in a 2 or 3 season window? Is it just their talent alone, or is it their overall body of work? If you go by overall body of work and accomplishments, you can't say Kelvin Johnson is a Hall of Famer. But if you looked at him and analyzed him based on his very best, I mean, in the 100 years of football, how many guys were better at that position? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. The training camp situation right now is what it is. We don't have much going on. We're not going to have preseason games this year. We should have had one of the major checkpoints on the NFL calendar this weekend, the Hall of Fame ceremony, which is really a kickoff for the entire season. And it made me think about next year and the players who are up for election or induction. And I think Kelvin Johnson's situation will be one that will lead to a massive debate in terms of what makes a Hall of Famer. Is it just numbers, or is it how good the guy looked when he was at his best? So I'd love to know what you think at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When you think Kelvin Johnson, do you think Hall of Famer, even though the numbers overall aren't there? What makes a Hall of Famer? Is it just their talent and what they did when they were at their best? Or is it more about longevity and full body of work? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Hall of Fame would have been this weekend. The most interesting player for next year is Kelvin Johnson. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer? 855-212-4227. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
I'm not a big fan of the NFL preseason. I think it's a waste of time. I don't buy into the idea that coaches need it to make roster decisions. I don't think that it really gets teams prepared at all for the start of the regular season. We don't see it in high school football. We don't see it in college football. I don't think it's necessary in the NFL. It's a cash grab by owners. The NFL players don't make their full salary. They get a very small amount of money for those games. And NFL teams still charge face value, big prices for those games. And then they also sell those games to local television stations and make a tremendous amount of money there. So it's all money in, very little money out, even though the quality of the game stinks. It's something that I don't think NFL owners are ready to totally give up or part with, and that's why we see that even with the 17-game model that starts next year, we're still looking at three preseason games. They'll probably keep the Hall of Fame game, which was called off as part of the preseason cancellation this year. And the Hall of Fame ceremony, which isn't going to be held digitally or virtually, that whole thing has been canceled. I was looking at the 2021 prospective class today, and I thought about, I kept staring at Kelvin Johnson's name and thinking, how are the voters going to handle this guy? By your eye test, he was one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. But if you go by what he actually did, he had fewer receiving yards all time than Derek Mason, than Anquan Boldin. Two guys from his era who won't even sniff the Hall of Fame. So what do you do about that? Do you just make an exception for somebody because he was so impressive? It's not like injuries completely derailed his career where you even feel like sympathetic like you would, I don't know, Terrell Davis. He just decided to walk away at 30. This is supposed to be the era where wide receivers are putting up monster numbers and you need the monster numbers to get in. He doesn't have those. You've got Reggie Wayne, who is 10th all-time in receiving yards and is having a hard time getting in. So you take a guy from the same era and put him in just because he passed the eye test? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I think that'll be an interesting one. I'd love to get your thoughts here. That number sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Here's Ed in South Carolina on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for getting me in. First of all, I should preface this for saying, generally, I disagree with about everything you say, no offense, but you're not wanting to keep, you don't want Kelvin Johnson in the Hall of Fame because he walked away at 30. Have you ever heard of a guy named Gale Sayers?
Yeah, I have, and Jim Brown, too, walked away when I think he was 30 years old. So what's the point?
Okay, well, look, I watched him, and there was nobody, and I mean nobody, to cover this guy. He played for a bad franchise, you know. And there is no, in your defense, there is no foolproof way to make it right. People with short careers that were outstanding can get in. Longevity, I think, has gotten a lot of people in that should not be there. Emmitt Smith in his heyday was a great player. He had longevity. I think he could have got in anyway. But the thing is, I'm not buying that. You know, what longevity just means you play a long time. What's that got to do with it?
You don't think that's a skill? You don't think that it's a positive quality or attribute that somebody was able to play at a high level for a really long time?
Yeah, but if you're playing for the Detroit Lions, why would you want to keep playing there? The guy was a team player. He never asked for a trade. He did the best he could do. He walked away. Look, let me tell you something. And, yes, this is a fantasy football thing. I watched that guy score 5 touchdowns on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, yeah, he got me a playoff win in advance.
Okay. Gotcha, Ed. Thank you. I hear you, man. Yeah, that's why I brought up the question. He, at his best, was as good as Randy Moss or Jerry Rice, or take your pick of whoever in your mind is the best wide receiver of all time. But he walked away from the game at a very young age and doesn't have the kind of total numbers that usually get somebody at his position into the Hall of Fame. So do you make an exception? And I'm not big when it comes to Hall of Fames on making exceptions and watering down things. They've already, yeah, I guess there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube with the Hall of Fame, that they pretty much have, I think they've done a disservice to the true greats that have played the sport. I don't think, just my humble opinion, I don't think that somebody like Jim Brown should be in the same, somebody like him should not have to share that space, that revered all-time kind of sanctuary, with somebody like Edgar and James. Like, there's a whole tier or two tiers separating those two players, and yet they're both Hall of Famers. They both have the same label or the same all-time title placed on them. But the Hall of Fame is a commercial enterprise. It's a business, and they need to put people in every year to have an induction ceremony and to bring people to Canton, Ohio, and to keep that place in business. So that's why they can't be exclusive. That's why they can't have high standards, or the highest standards, like they should. That's the problem with all Hall of Fames, is that they need to put several players in every year to keep the turnstiles going. That's not how I would do a Hall of Famer. In my personal Hall of Fame, in my imaginary Andrew Filippone Hall of Fame, somebody like Calvin Johnson doesn't get in. Because you can't just go off eye test, I don't think. You can't just say, well, at his best, he was better than everybody else. You apply that logic, well, then Herschel Walker should be in, and Bo Jackson should be in, and anybody who just wowed you with physical talents, even if they didn't do it for a long time, just give them the benefit of the doubt because they were freaks at what they did, and you know, doing it over and over again, consistency doesn't matter. I can't do that. 855-212-4227 is the number. You want to tweet me, you can, at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. The question this hour has been relating to next year's Hall of Fame ceremony and whether somebody who was on kind of the border like Calvin Johnson, how you, as an NFL fan, would treat his candidacy. Somebody that had a short but sweet career. Do you think those types of players are Hall of Famers like Terrell Davis and Calvin Johnson, or do you think you should have to do it for a long time in that the overall numbers, the total numbers, the career numbers matter? 855-212-4227.
This is the Pony Express. Here's Andrew Filippone.
And you can tell your smart speaker, Alexa, to play CBS Sports Radio. She won't mind. It's free. No additional fee required to get CBS Sports Radio at home. Wi-Fi connection, just tell her to play it, and you're off and running. We're talking about next year's Pro Football Hall of Fame class, which will be a massive one because they delayed this year's class to next year. They'll still have a 2021 selection process, and I see Kelvin Johnson's name is on there, and I'm curious as to what the committee makes of him, because he was an all-time talent, but he didn't put up the best numbers. His career was cut short, or he cut his career short, maybe better said. And how do you feel about players like that who pass your eye test but don't have the numbers to back it up? 855-212-4227. Now, looking more and more at this disturbing story regarding Darius Geis released, the Washington running back, and I'll tell you, just seeing the way... Now, any story or any type of conversation gets distributed or gets presented with Washington, it is just so bizarre that we have a pro football team, we have an NFL team, we have a pro sports team without a nickname. I've never seen anything like it where you go to CBSSports.com or you go to NFL.com and you search for that team's homepage and it just says Washington with no logo. The Washington football team. Just they really, it's so hard for me to fathom that an NFL team that had a controversial name for years did not have a plan B nickname ready to go. That you would have thought all the time that was spent over this controversy, you know, that nickname, you would think that they would have brainstormed for years. Okay, we've said we're never going to do it, but hey, if something forces us, if the NFL forces us to change it, or if our sponsors all abandon us one by one, no money is coming in, and we're left no choice but to change because of outside forces, because of public pressure, what are some names we like? Do we have some logos in a back room somewhere that we can give to our equipment manufacturers, to the NFL, and if we do have to make a change, we're not going to get caught here with our pants down where we have a team without a name. Yeah, it's a weird one. I guess when you have an obstinate owner who just buries his head in the sand like Daniel Snyder, I shouldn't be totally shocked by it. But you would think the NFL would have even put some pressure on Washington to like, hey, we know you don't want to do this, but just in case, give us a few names you like. And we'll try to keep it under wraps. We'll try to keep it totally secret, but we'll have some logos and we'll have some sweatshirts and we'll have some jerseys that are ready to go if and when you need to make a change. Here is Landon in Kansas City on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Landon.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey, I agree with you on the Hall of Fame thing. I think you got to do it for a while to be a great player. But y'all can also look at someone like a Frank Gore or a Phillip Rivers who has great stats but hasn't been a great player. My question for you is, if Patrick Mahomes were to retire here in a year or two, does he have a Hall of Fame resume based on the MVP, the Super Bowl MVP, and leading the league in several different stat categories over the last couple of years? Would he get in your opinion? Hall of
No.
Fame there?
No, he wouldn't for me. If something like that happened where all of a sudden he had a change of heart about football, I think that's a disservice to real Hall of Famers like Tom Brady and Joe Montana and Johnny Unitas, if you let somebody like that in. That is my Hall of Fame barometer. Is the person we're putting in, can you make the case that they are the best or one of the best to ever do it? Like, can you compare that person's resume to the greatest of all time? And if somebody is so far and away better like Jerry Rice, is this player among the handful of the best to ever do it at his position? Is he the best of his era? Those are the questions I ask myself with Hall of Famers. 855-212-4CBS. Here is Seth in Alabama on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Seth.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey.
So my only debate with you, and it's not that people with great careers that have longevity aren't merited the Hall of Fame, but there are numbers that you can compare, like with someone like Calvin Johnson. It's not like he only played like a few years, you know? You could take, you know, things like yards per catch, like smaller scale numbers. You take his body of work on a percentage level compared to other players' bodies of work on percentage levels instead of just total amassed yards and things of that nature. So I think someone like him, you can look at and say that he played long enough and we saw enough to merit him a Hall of Fame player. And I think there's some other people that fall into that category. Now, there's a gray line as to exactly how long someone would need to have played before, you know, you start thinking that way, but I think he played long enough to merit that.
He played for, I'm looking at it right now, Calvin Johnson's career was 9 NFL seasons, which
right.
for
That's
a number
a long
of other
NFL career.
Well, yes, it is. But the problem is it's not a long NFL career for his for the greatest of the great at his position. If he's a running back for 9 years and puts up those kinds of numbers, he's in the Hall of Fame. But he's a wide receiver in an era where wide receivers are playing longer and are putting up bigger and better numbers. That's the issue. I mean that's the problem with his spot. Like The listener says, well, go by yards per catch. He never led the NFL in a single season in yards per catch. All time, Calvin Johnson averaged 15.9 yards per catch. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sort and give you, okay, I can actually, yards per reception for a career. Let's see. Okay, like, for example, guys in modern football who are better than him at that. Deshaun Jackson, excuse me. Josh Gordon ahead of him. Torrey Smith. Kenny Stills. Mike Evans. T.Y. Hilton. Yards per catch. Players that are ranked ahead of him. Joey Galloway. Lee Evans. Just a few. Here is Craig in Michigan on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Craig.
Hey. Good afternoon, man. You know what? I love your examples that you threw out. Johnny Unitas, Tom Brady, Joe Montana. I'll give you a few more. Lawrence Taylor, Ronnie Lott, Deion Sanders. I mean, people that you know immediately, no debate. Nobody argues, looks at numbers, tries to find a way to get them in by reasoning that they did this and they did that. If I put out a name and you don't have any immediate thought other than this
right.
guy belongs in, then that's a Hall of Famer. If
I
had
agree.
To explain to you why Calvin Johnson should get in and you disagree for any reason at all, then he's not a Hall of Famer because it's not an immediate thought. And the Bo Jackson example was such a good example. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was probably – one of the best athletes that's ever lived on this planet Earth in the history of the world, but he just didn't do it in the game,
right.
and you can't put him in because he was a great athlete. So I like all your examples, and I've always felt that you won't have a watered-down Hall of Fame if you stop looking at the numbers and you just say to yourself, is this guy in or not? And if you don't immediately say yes, then he's out.
Yeah, I think mental gymnastics should not be required when it comes to Hall of Fame candidacy. Curtis Martin is the 6th all-time leading rusher in NFL history. He is in the Hall of Fame. If you had one game to live, if you had one game to win with your life on the line, would you rather have Curtis Martin in his prime or Bo Jackson in his prime? My answer is unequivocally Bo Jackson, but that doesn't mean his football career was better than Curtis Martin's. It wasn't. They weren't even close, actually. One guy had a much better football career. And that's what the Hall of Fame should be. It's a measure of your football career. It's not a measure of when you were at your best, were you better than everybody else? Here's Quincy in Mississippi on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Quincy.
How's it going? I agree with the last guy. If you say their name and you can't say, you have to think about it, then they're not Hall of Famer. But I think that the Hall of Fame is based not just on numbers, but all pros and other awards and certain intangibles. Now, Calvin Johnson was the best wide receiver of his era for at least three or four seasons. He has multiple all pros, which means he's the best at his position or top two for multiple times. And that's saying something. And he played nine seasons. That's a lot. Now, he didn't do much in the playoffs because his team sucks, so he only played a couple of games. But his first playoff game, I think he had over 200 yards receiving. So is the Hall of Fame watered down? Yes. But I think this guy, because he was someone you had to stop for 7 or 8 years, that to me puts you in the conversation of being a Hall of Famer.
And it's so by that, so by that logic, you'd put Antonio Brown in too.
And I think Antonio Brown is a Hall of Famer. I really.
All right, I got to let you run, Quincy, because we're up against it here. This has been a fun conversation. Keep it going on social media, at the Pony Express, spelled P-O-N-I. That's my personal Twitter. And at CBS Sports Radio. College football, not looking good. More discussion on that coming up next. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.